The pastor's been preaching about 2020, and I'm going to add another 20 to it. Fair enough? 20 is a word for expectancy. Say expectancy. And we're expecting God's word to be true. Am I correct? Then the Lord said to me that the other 20 represented his expectancy on us. Amen? And then the other 20 was 2020 vision. We need to have 2020 vision. So we can see the things of God and see what's going on and what's happening. Amen? I heard Paulie saying about, global warming and all that stuff. There, everybody's looking for an answer. I got the answer. His name is Jesus. Amen. That's all it is. His name is Jesus. Amen. The Bible says demons tremble just at the sound of that name. How can I say this? If a believer just says Jesus, it would cause the enemy and his kingdom to run scared. Just the name of Jesus. I like doing this. We've done it before. Just say the name of Jesus.
Jesus!
Now, Connie, you say Jesus all by yourself.
Jesus!
That has the same power as if everybody said Jesus. You understand? Yes. Jesus. That's why they try to shut it down in the book of Acts. You can't talk about Jesus anymore. What's the problem with the name? If I said Ralph, if I said Paul, well, yeah, I know nobody's called Ralph here. Am I right? I probably messed that one up too. I don't want to say some of the other names, but those names are what? Well, they're nice names, but there's a name that has above every other name. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
I said that this is the year, three different things the Lord gave me, and we're just going to be speaking on them. First of all, it was the year of the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
So when I saw that again, and I was reading it, and I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit for years and years, and the Holy Ghost said to me very clearly, one of the many names when Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter, say comforter.
Comforter.
We all know the word parakletos. Everyone's preached here all the different definitions. But one of the definitions is coach. We've had people, have asked my wife and me, could you be my life coach? I'll pay you good money and all that kind of stuff. And then they say, well, who's your life coach? I said, the Holy Ghost. And he's free.
Yeah.
I know, but you got anybody else? No, that is the ultimate in life coaching.
Yeah.
Am I right? So, Tony, come on up for a minute. Tony has been a coach, played football, professional, everything else. Just tell the folks for a moment, if you don't mind, what it's like to be a coach and what your expectancy is for your players and everything else. Because the Holy Spirit wants to be our coach. Say coach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to be in the house.
Yes.
Yes.
Woo.
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 Give him the woo.
Woo.
Sometimes I call him up on the phone and just go, woo, and he go, woo. Okay, see you later.
A coach has many, many hats. But I was thinking when Pastor asked me this morning, when you're looking at a team, you got to get the players to buy in to what you're coaching.
Mm.
If you don't have the buy-in from the players, you're not going to be successful.
Right.
You push players to be the best that they can be. You work on things that they're struggling in to get better at. Sounds like the Holy Spirit to me.
Yeah.
when practice is over, you know, a lot of times, you know, the players, they can get home, you know, go home, go to gym, do whatever they got to do. But coaches are still in the office, breaking down film.
Yep.
Getting new strategies and strategic plans for certain plays. Not only just for plays, but also we design plays for certain players. We all at certain players.
Yes.
Our game plan from God may be different than the person next
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we break down film. We're watching film. We're watching, you know, whatever other team we're playing, how we're going to attack them, how are we going to, game plan to be successful. It's the Bible. It's our game plan.
Yeah.
But our coach is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We got many hats. We got many hats. We condition. We have to get conditioned, got to be in shape. We run, we lift. We have to condition ourselves in the spirit the same way, the exact same way. So a coach has many, 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 many duties. A lot of the stuff that you see, you know, as far as games, you don't see what goes on behind the scenes. You know, you got coaches get the office. I used to get the office at 5:00 in the morning and sometimes don't get home 11, 12, 30 at night. God never sleeps. Holy Spirit never sleeps. He's always looking out for his players. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. Welcome back. Hallelujah. Say the year of the Holy Spirit. Last week I went to Mark 4. Y'all remember that? And then I asked, what keeps some of us back from having the relationship that God wants from us and we want from God? You or your brother said procrastination. So then the Lord told me to go back to Mark 4 and look up some of the definitions just real quick. Can I give them to everybody? Because can I be honest with you? Nothing should hold us back from that personal relationship with God, our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. The only thing that holds us back is me and you. It's very simple. That's all there is. Amen? When my wife says it's time to eat dinner, we go to the table. We celebrated my little Alex's 11th birthday yesterday, and when she said it's time to eat, I was there. At the pastor's breakfast every month, I'm the first one in line. So listen to the definition of the word procrastination, as our brother said it to me. To defer action, to delay, to procrastinate until an opportunity is lost. This procrastination stuff spiritually in our lives has got to come to an end today. Because the only thing that's going to stand the test of time is our relationship in the Spirit to God. Our relationship. How many of you know if you plant a garden, you have to cultivate the garden? You just can't go get a bag of seeds and just throw the bag out there. You got to open it up. But the ground has got to be what? Turned over to receive the seed. Am I right? I remember, I said it last week, but let me go back again, because guess what? Repetition is for our safety. Amen? So when Jesus told the disciples, he said to them, you feed them. The Bible says he knew what he was doing. It was a test to the disciples. He was testing them. And then he said, listen, you guys feed them. And they did what? They start talking about what they had. God's not interested in what you have and what I have. He's interested in us stepping out by faith. We'll never have enough to accomplish what God wants. Everything on these 18 acres now that we have came as a result of us having nothing. Literally having nothing. But I found out that if God tells you to do something, he will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. Am I right? When you look up that scripture verse, I love it, and it says supply your needs according to his riches and glory, it actually has a meaning. Hang on now. It has the meaning of this. A choir was putting on a production, literally. Can you imagine like holidays you're putting on? Give me something about the holidays. The Nutcracker? Is that a production? Wow, it's a huge production. Well, what if they were doing the production and before they could finish it, they ran out of finances? What would happen? We'll have to shut down the... And this is what this word refers to. He'll supply all of our needs. It refers to somebody who was a rich benefactor, heard about what was going on, and went to them and said, I'm going to pay for everything. You don't have to worry about it. I will supply all the monies and everything you need. So the production could finish. That's what God does when our pockets are empty. That's what God does when there's doubt and unbelief coming in. He said, listen, this is not on you. This is on me. I'm going to supply, say, all of your needs. Not according to what's in our checking account, but according to all your needs, according to what he has. Do you think there's a shortage in heaven? Does anybody know what the currency of heaven is? Faith is the currency of heaven. Not dollars and cents and monies as you and I would know here on earth. It's called faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Without faith, you can't do what? Can't please God. Amen? So glory to God. Another definition of this. Can I do that? Procrastination. To put off till another day or time, to defer and to delay. We cannot delay or defer our spiritual well-being anymore. We can't depend on our preacher on television anymore. More preachers that I've known, I'll just check myself out here, that I listened to for years, I can't listen to anymore. There's been a defer to not God or the Word, but I don't even hear mentioned scripture verses anymore. I listen to one preacher that never once mentioned one scripture verse. I'm out of there. You got to be careful what you're listening to. Because it's a Christian channel doesn't mean everything's Christian. You understand what I'm saying? But if you and I dig into the Word of God, there's an assurance that nothing we read will not be true and has not already been fulfilled. We can't depend on men. We've got to depend on the Holy Ghost. Amen? When God says something to you, he says something to me. We've got to step out by faith and get the job done. It's not in our strength. The Bible says what? His power. Say his power. His strength. Amen? So I looked up some of the words in Mark 4. Can you help me out here? Go to Mark 4, and I'm in the Amplified real quick. Here's the first one I looked up in verse number 19. Yeah, let's look at this. Then the cares and anxieties. Say anxieties. So I looked this up. I needed this for me. You can help out. A feeling of worrying, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. What does Jesus say in Matthew 6? Don't worry or be full of anxiety, because if you do, you'll be robbing from tomorrow to get the problem solved today, and then you won't have enough for the next day. The Bible says what? Cast all. I heard Keith Moore say one of his friends wanted to look up the word all. So he did his humongous study. It took him hours and hours. He came back. I found out the definition of the word all. All. The Bible says, and Jesus healed them all. Well, how do we know that's true? You either believe it or you don't believe it. If he says it's true, it's true. All, say all. Say it again, all. Means everybody got what God had for them. Remember when the little girl was laying there and they had the mourners come in because she had died? Professional mourners. And what did Jesus do? His spirit man, the Holy Ghost on the inside of him said, no. She's not dead. She's sleeping. And what did they say? They laughed. Try laughing. Go ahead. But she's not breathing. She's not dead. She's sleeping. Lazarus was dead 4 days. And after the fourth day, they totally gave up on him because they would say this. The phrase is that his body must stinketh. But what did Jesus say? This is unto the glory of God. He called things that are not as though they were. Hang on now. He called things that are not as though they were. Things that are not as though they were. Because we all have done the opposite. Well, they said there's no hope in it. Don't listen to somebody else. The final authority is the word of God. I said the final authority is the word of God. Try that again. The final word, final is the word of God. It should be first, preeminent, and it should be the last thing, the word. Say the word.
Word.
Say the word.
Word.
Say it again, the word.
Word.
Pastor, I'm getting tired of saying the word. Well, you say the word, you're saying Jesus. Hallelujah. Say Jesus and the word are synonymous with one another. Glory. Look at another scripture, the same thing. It says, cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions. Here's the word distraction. A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. How many of you know today more than ever before, there are distractions that have already gotten pregnant and produced new distractions? I know the commercial hasn't been on a while, but remember the guy taking his new computer home in the convertible, and he's so excited about this. He's looked up at the red light. He looked and saw the new billboard. It came out with the next model, and he hadn't even got this one home yet. How many of you know things are changing so quickly? Am I right? So quickly, nobody can keep up with it. That's why our spirit man needs to be strong. It can't have distractions of the world interrupt it. How many times have you and I wanted to be alone and quiet? We head to the ladies' room or men's room. Am I right? Lock at the door, and nobody, she's going to bother me right now. Am I right? We need to have that kind of a quiet place when we get alone with God. A place we can go to, a quiet place where there's no interruptions. Amen? Glory to God. Well, here's another word, if you don't mind, that I ran across. I think it's good. Are you ready? It says this, the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness. Say deceitfulness. Deceitfulness means this, someone who's two-faced or fraudulent. What? Well, you got your finger in Mark 4? Go over here to John. Will you do that for me? John, the Gospel of John. I can tell you somebody who's not trustworthy and is two-faced and fraudulent. Oh, do you know somebody like that? I certainly do. Look at the 44th verse of the 8th chapter of John. Are you ready? Here's Jesus talking to the religious guys. You are of your father, the devil. I remember what the word devil means. Two-part word. To throw something. Over and over and over again. The second part of the word devil is until it penetrates. He's a deceiver, and he'll keep throwing lie after lie after lie after lie after lie until it penetrates. That's his M.O. But when you have the truth and I have the truth of God's word on the inside of us, the first sign of a lie coming, we go in the name of Jesus. That lie will not be received in my life, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. So what do I combat those lies with? With the word of God. With the word of God. Well, should it always be the same scripture verse? We should have such a library of the word on the inside of us that God could just simply pull out, and Jesus wept, and that'll knock the devil back in his quiche. Is that the right word? Quiche? Quiche? Keister. Thank you. Everybody say keister. Here we go. The devil, and it is your will to practice and lust and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. Listen to the description of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he's still a murderer. He murders with his words, because if you believe a lie, it eventually become what? The truth. Characteristic of your father, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. If you and I know the truth, can a lie come up and take over the truth? Absolutely, positively not. See, the devil will trick you. He'll give you a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and before you know it, you'll be doing something you never thought possible that you'd be doing, because the devil's a liar. He makes it sound like something good. Don't you feel good? I can feel good lots of ways, but not destroying my body with some kind of chemicals. You understand that? But when people are hooked on that kind of stuff, they don't see the beginning from the end. What the devil wants to do is add you to his trophy case. Hello. Hell is a real place. People use it all the time. Oh, just go to you know where. And it's a casual word. Hell is not a casual word. Hell is a real place of eternal damnation. Say, real place. For eternity. Don't get hooked on anything but the word. If you looked in my library for over 50 years, I don't have one book that's anything but based on the word of God. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? I don't read other stuff. That's not for you, but that's for me. Because if I read other stuff, fiction, it could mess my brain up, because it's contrary to the word of God. But that's just for me. I only have things that will edify and build me up spiritually. My flesh can find all kinds of ways, but guess what? I'm going to believe what God's word says, and I'm always studying and finding something new that I missed in the word of God. Fair enough? Hallelujah. Well, the pastor said I shouldn't read fiction. If you heard that, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's not for me. Amen? Say glory. Hallelujah. Can we look at another word? Creeps in. Listen to what the word creep means. Move slowly and carefully in order to avoid being heard or noticed. That's the enemy. He'll creep in with little words and little things here and there, and we don't even know that, guess what? It's happening. If you ate a piece of chocolate cake, one piece every day, for a whole year, after you die, no, it's not true. You will gain almost, if not more than, 40 pounds. So if you and I get on a scale, and then the next year weigh ourselves again, we can't look at the scale and say, I don't know what happened. I do. If you eat healthy, once in a while you can throw a little what? Piece of cake in there. Not bad for you. But if it's a steady diet of things not to make you healthy, it will cause your health to wane. And when you put extra weight on, is that a good thing? No. The enemy wants to creep in. Well, you don't want to go to church today. And I heard there's a snowflake up north. How many of you know little things? The enemy wants to creep in our spiritual life and mess us up. He creeped in the garden. Did God really say that? Somebody in the garden should have stood up and said, yes, he did. Now get out of here. But because they didn't, and they entertained, look where you and I are today. Glory to God. We had cake and ice cream at Alex's birthday party. I refused the cake. It takes a lot to do that. But I didn't refuse the ice cream. Say creeps in. Say creeps in. Another word that shows up here is the word choke. Are you ready? Have severe difficulty in breathing. The enemy will choke us with his lies, and we won't even realize it, and all of a sudden we're embracing things that are opposite and different than what the Word of God says. Amen? So guess what? I want what God's Word says. This is the year of the Holy Ghost. And when we talked about this in 1 Corinthians 13:13, are you ready? And now there remains faith. Say faith. That means abiding trust in God and his promises. And the word hope. Say hope. What is hope? Joyful expectancy. This 2020 is hopeful expectancy that God's word will come true in every single part of our life. Say joyful expectancy. How many of you are expecting something this year? Don't give up. Here's some definitions. Ready? Bible hope expectancy is like the rudder of a ship. What does the rudder do? A rudder steers the boat in whatever direction it chooses to what? Go. Am I right? Here's another one. Expectancy brings joy. A baby coming is expectancy. And when the baby comes, what happens? There's a joy. Say, there's a joy. Expectancy, say this with me, expectancy will always manifest itself in some kind of praise. Say praise.
Praise.
So lift your hands right now and praise God for something he's done for you this week even. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Come on, say it out of your mouth. Expectancy is a very happy anticipation. This year my birthday's on a Thursday morning. I'm making my own cake and bringing it. What'd you say you wanted, Mom? You wanted chocolate. We're making chocolate cake. Some people said, I don't like chocolate. I'm making half chocolate, half vanilla. If you don't like either one of them, don't stay. I have a happy expectancy. Well, how old are you going to be? Age is not the issue. You've heard me quote my wife's statement all the time. Her age is a number, and it's unlisted. Without expectancy, faith cannot work. I gave you a little definition of faith, and it was this. Faith is rest. Say, faith is rest. Say it out loud. Faith is rest. Without faith, you can't do what? Can't please God. Remember the Bible talks in Hebrews about Israel, and it said this. Because they did not mix faith with the word. What was the word? God said the promised land belongs to you. And the 12 spies were sent out. How many of them came back with, we can take it? How many said, we can't take it? 10. Millions of people believed the lie. Millions. Today, millions of people are believing a lie. Well, Jesus was a nice guy and everything, but that book, the Bible, you know, that's like old school. People say that to me. I say, I am old school. I'm old and I went to school. But this is the book I went to. Amen? I made all kinds of mistakes in my life. Have you? But Jesus has done what? Wiped the slate clean. Now, I don't know why this came to me, but I did a lot of silly things when I was younger. But when we had report cards, they'd give them to you so you could take them home. And they, ready for this? They wrote with a fountain pen. Some of you don't even know what a fountain pen is. So I hated poetry. What am I going to do with poetry? So I got an F in poetry. So I had this great idea that wasn't God's idea. I got a ballpoint pen, and I made the F a B. My father said, son, you got a B in poetry? I said, yeah, Dad, isn't that great? He said, how come the ink's a little different color than this part of the ink? And I didn't know the word then, but all of a sudden I found out, be sure your sins will find you out. Amen? I still remember that. Because you know what? I disappointed my father. When I make mistakes and I don't follow the word exactly, I feel, God, forgive me because I don't want to disappoint my father. You understand that now? Another thing on expectancy, amen, with the Israelites. They spent 40 years, say 40 years, wandering around because of a lie. How many people spend their entire lifetime wandering around based on lies? I thank God for godly parents. My wife will do the same thing. My children would say the same thing. I had good examples. There was always a Bible out somewhere, and it wasn't closed. It was always open. Praying mamas brought some of us into the kingdom of God. Listen to me now. When you pray, the prayers that are prayed are still out there. Well, they're dead. They're dead, but their words are still out there. So if you had a praying mama, you're in big trouble if you don't yield to God soon. Who raised you? Your grandma? Thank God a praying grandma stuck with Tony and prayed even when things weren't going the way they should. Say expectancy. Even though Israel believed the lie and they died off, their shoes didn't wear out. God is not going to forsake us if we make choices contrary to the word, because he loves us with an everlasting love. But what happens, and I've seen so many times in people's lives, is they waste year after year after year, waste their lives, knowing the right choices they should have made, but they didn't. I've been around many bedsides of people, listen to me, as they're dying, they whisper in my ear, will God still forgive me? I wasted my life. Yes, he will, because he loves you. Because the man on the cross next to Jesus had no record of doing anything right. But Jesus said, today, say today, this day, you'll be with me in paradise, and his sins were washed clean, just like that. Had one guy say to me once, you mean I could just live like hell and God will still ask me into the kingdom? You want to waste your whole lifetime doing the things you want to do and your body's rotting away from drugs and alcohol just so you could enjoy yourself? Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. Receive him right now as Lord and Savior. Amen. But who got into the promised land? Just those two and the next generation that was coming up. Why not take God's word? He said, that's yours. There are giants there. See, God didn't ask us what was there. Say, the giants, he'll take them down. When we had to build this warehouse back here, I'll never forget, we went before the board and we presented the whole thing. And they voted us down. We got zero. Zero. Because we used some words they didn't like warehouse. So then I began to ask questions. Why can't we build this thing? It was humongous. Then the Holy Spirit said, ask him a simple question. Are you listening to me? How high can we make it? Because they wouldn't give me the footprint that was what I wanted. They said I could build it so many feet high. Listen, we got voted with no zero on our side. They voted us in unanimously. And what the Lord told us to do was to make the building as high as we could within limits, and now we have more than if we built it bigger this way. Say, God's got everything under his control. Say, God's, listen to the testimonies that just came. We read them from the warehouse. Think about the giving of this church. Like Paulie says, not thousands of people. You don't need thousands of people. You need hungry believers who want to see the kingdom of God grow and lives changed by the power of God. When I stand before God, I don't want to stand there like this with nothing. I want to have something that he's given me to do, and I'm still doing it and fulfilling it in Jesus' name. I don't want to stand before God empty-handed. I want to stand there saying, thank you, Jesus. I've done the best I could with what you've given me. See, God hasn't changed my assignment. If he did, I'd say we're leaving. But my assignment is to preach the gospel. From the time I was in Bible college and my wife was there, and we told everybody, you've heard the story, we're going to the Northeast. Don't go there because it's the graveyard of preachers. And I looked at him and the Holy Ghost had me say out of my mouth, if there are dead folks, then my Jesus will raise them up. Glory to God. Don't call those things that are dead. You call them alive. Say they're alive. Say they're alive. Say it again, they're alive. I'm going to end with this. I throw this in. There was an auction. A man had died, and there was an auction of paintings worth millions upon millions of dollars. People came from all over the world. And the auctioneer went like this with his gavel. I got to use some home break. Okay, the auction's about to start. And the man pulled out a picture of a young man. That's the only thing they had. Oh, my goodness. And he said, how many will give me $10 for this picture? Right away, hands started going up and say, no, get to the good stuff. And finally, an older man raised his hand and said, I'll give you $10 for that. And he was the only one that bid on this picture of the son of the man who had died. And then he went like this. The auction's closed. People start saying, wait a minute. You didn't auction off all the good pieces. Now, you're ready for this one-liner? Because it fits us today. He said, whoever gets the son gets everything. If you have Jesus on the inside of you, you've got everything that you'll ever need. Today is the day. Today things change. Spirit of expectancy is here right now. The spirit of expectancy is in this place. The spirit of expectancy is just that. It's a spirit, the Holy Ghost. Somebody, you need to make your life right right now with God. Some of us are closing the door thinking nobody can see what's going on in my real life. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, so when we close the door on our life thinking nobody can see what's going on behind the door, the Holy Ghost is there. Don't be tricked by the devil. Don't be deceived by his lies. Say this with me. This is the year of the Holy Spirit. This is the year of the Word of God. This is the year of his presence. I wanted to end right there, and the Holy Ghost said, no, I can't. I have a book called In His Presence. So I'm just going to read it. Can I read just a couple of these? Because I have so many devotionals, I like reading them. My wife and I just, which one do you have today, hon? How about this one? I have all kinds. Amen? But I ran across my older book, and it's called In His Presence. Listen, I'm going to read the verse and then what the man said. Are you ready? John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Then on the bottom of that, it says this, in his presence, you'll find the release of your burdens. Boy, that's so powerful. Can I give you another one? John 16:33, in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Amen. He didn't ask us to do it, he's already done it. Amen. Listen to what the bottom says. In his presence, overcome your circumstances. We are, say this one aloud, me. We are not children of our circumstances. We are children of faith. How many of you know it's easy to be wrapped up with our circumstances? Some people want to tell me their circumstances. I'm going to pack a lunch and stick around for a while. But when you talk about the circumstances, then you exalt the circumstances above the Word of God. The first thing out of our mouth is, this is what the Word says. Jesus never talked about his circumstances in the wilderness experience. He immediately spoke what? The Word. He exalted the Word, which he was over anything else that came. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Can I give you another one? In his presence, trust God's guidance. Say, trust his guidance. I have things in my life right now, and I'm saying, God, what do I do? What don't I do? How do I handle this? And God is always faithful. Say, faithful to his word. Give you two more. Fair enough? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. I believe he exists. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Have you ever been in St. Patrick's Cathedral? Huh. Am I right? Breathtaking. Have you ever been to Harvest Church, the gymnasium? Listen, it's not what a building looks like. Is the presence of God there? Is the anointing of God there? Jesus never healed people in nice buildings. He healed them wherever the need was. Say, I'm the church, and wherever I go, we're going to have church. In his presence, true faith becomes a reality. Can I read you one more? Psalm 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Are you ready? I'll end with this one. In his presence, experience the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Say the King of Kings. King of Kings. The Bible said the king left his throne and put on the clothes of a beggar because he saw you and I as sinners, and he wanted us back in place where God originally had us. Say glory.
Glory.
Come on, stand up wherever you are and just begin to praise him. Come on, just begin to praise him. Just begin to pray. Come on. Just begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, as you're praising him, think of some of the things he's done. Think about the blessings. Go ahead. Come on. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. There's a time in our life we need to be inflexible and unmoving. This is the day. We've got to grab a hold of this precious book, whatever form you have it in. Wrap our arms around it and do not let go of it. Our lives are the decisions we've made. My life are the decisions I've made. Keith Moore, he said, people today have no fault religion. I said, what did you say? No fault religion. They accept Christ into their life and they just go on doing what they used to do. If you go to the altar and say, I do with your future spouse, that's not it. That's just the beginning. There are the working out of all the different things, am I right? You realize you didn't marry your mommy, you married your wife. You can't call mommy on the phone and say, hello, my wife won't let me do this. Son, you married her. Hello, that's your hello. We married and we have to develop, say what? The relationship with that spouse he's given to us. Amen. God loves us. Say he loves us and he wants the best for us. We've got to be flexible. We've got to be unmoving when it comes to the word of God. Before I have to make a decision, I consult, guess who? The Holy Ghost. Then I say, honey, what do you think about this thing? No peace, no move. No peace, no move. I'm here, my wife's here, and my family's here because God said move, and we did. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us today around the Word of God. Let there be a wake-up call in our spirit man. I can't go home with everybody. Not everybody can come home with me. But there's a wake-up call of the spirit man. We know you're coming back. The time is short. That's what the angels said to the disciples. They saw Jesus ascend into heaven. Don't stand there gazing at him. He's coming back the same way. And soon, Jesus, we know we'll see you. But we've got to be busy getting the work of the kingdom done. I speak blessing upon Harvest Church, on its congregants. As we leave this place, let the vision of lost souls come into our eye gate. Let it fill our spirit man so we'll win those that don't know Christ to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Display.